It's already shaping up to be a busy morning, and just as you clear the hospital, you're dispatched to a nearby daycare for a child having trouble breathing. A staff member brings you to an office where you meet Lily, a tearful, tachypneic 2-year-old. The daycare provider tells you that Lily has a history of reactive airway disease, but she's never seen her quite this bad before. Your partner attempts to place a pediatric non-rebreather mask on her face, but she starts crying even more and pushes it away. "Let's just do some blow-by," you say. You're listening to 911cast, the no-nonsense EMS podcast. I'm Scott Topiel, and this week, it's all about blow-by oxygen. Let's face it, the last thing any of us wants to do when caring for an acutely ill child is to upset them. And if that illness involves respiratory distress, we definitely don't want to cause that sick child to breathe even harder because we made them cry. But we also know what happens when you try to cover a kid's face with that scary-looking non-rebreather mask when they're already hypoxic and scared. So if we're going to take that first do-no-harm thing to heart, then what better way to avoid the whole unpleasant business of upsetting your pediatric patient than skipping the oxygen mask or nasal cannula altogether and giving them some blow-by oxygen instead? For those that aren't familiar with the term, blow-by oxygen administration, sometimes called wafting, is simply the technique of holding some sort of oxygen delivery device, usually a face mask or the end of some oxygen tubing, near the patient's face. The idea is that by doing this, we'll increase the concentration of oxygen in the air around them so that when they breathe in, they'll get all the benefits of supplemental oxygen without the stress of a mask stuck to their face. It's a win-win. The patient gets their much-needed oxygen, and we don't have to feel like a bunch of meanies making them cry. But does it actually work? I'm afraid there isn't really an easy way to say this, so I'm going to put it bluntly. No, it doesn't. Despite what we've been taught, and what you're probably still teaching, it turns out that blow-by is a virtually useless method of trying to deliver supplemental oxygen to patients that actually need it. And it seems that we've known this for quite a long time, so it's even more confusing as to why the technique is still almost universally taught. Two of the most common ways of providing blow-by oxygen in the field are to either point the open end of a length of oxygen tubing directly at the child, or to hold an oxygen mask several inches away from their face. In 2002, Davies et al. Studied both of these methods to see how effectively they increased the amount of oxygen in the air. What they found was that the oxygen tubing method was able to raise the oxygen concentration of the air to around 30% when it was held about 7 inches away from the patient. While that might sound good, it's important to keep in mind that the oxygen concentration of room air is 21%. Also, the area of the air that received extra oxygen was very narrow, so the tubing had to essentially be blowing directly toward the patient's nose and mouth for it to even have a chance of being effective. So what about the oxygen mask? That method was actually my go-to blow-by technique for many years. I would just hover a mask a few inches away from the kid's face and assume that they were getting some benefit. What the Davies study found was rather surprising. When the mask was held at the level of the mouth and nose, the oxygen concentration in the air didn't increase much from room air at all. It turns out that because the oxygen is fed through the bottom of the mask, the flow is aimed upward. So if you hold the mask over the mouth, it's actually going to blow up toward their eyes and miss them altogether. What they actually found was that the face mask needed to be held lower, at the level of the sternum, for the oxygen concentration to increase near their face. That sounds like good news, right? We're just holding the mask wrong, but it might still be a viable option for providing oxygen to these kids. Well, allow me to take the wind out of this discussion. According to a 2014 study by Blake et al., even when held at the ideal spot, with the mask just 3 inches away, the oxygen concentration of the surrounding air was only about 30%. And at 6 inches away, the concentration dropped down to 27.5%, just slightly over that 21% room air level. Okay, so far we know that the farther away we hold our blow-by oxygen device from a child, the less oxygen we're able to deliver. And really, anything more than about 3 inches away pretty much negates the meager increase in oxygen that we were able to achieve in the first place. How could this possibly get any worse? Well, in 2018, Behrens et al. Decided to see how the air movement caused by pushing a gurney at regular walking speeds might affect the delivery of oxygen using blow-by. While holding an oxygen mask about 3 inches from the face and pushing a gurney down a hallway, they found that the small headwind created by this movement was enough to wash out all of the supplemental oxygen in the air near the patient, bringing it back down to what was essentially room air. They concluded that the only way to effectively deliver oxygen using blow-by was to do so with a mask held fairly close to the patient and in an environment free of other air movement, not really an ideal set of field conditions. So where does all of this leave us? According to the experts, the practice of blow-by oxygen administration really has absolutely no place in our practice. Any child that is sick enough to need supplemental oxygen really needs us to provide it using a method that can deliver it reliably. Blow-by might have a limited role in the NICU, where a neonate may have to be briefly removed from their primary oxygen system for a feeding, bathing, or cuddling session. But when it comes to the acutely ill child, it's, for all intents and purposes, pretty much useless. And that brings us back to our case. As you move your patient onto the gurney, your partner connects a non-rebreather mask to an oxygen tank and turns it on. She holds the mask over the child's nose and mouth, about 10 inches or so away from her face, while you push the gurney toward the ambulance. Once inside, you find that her oxygen saturation is in the low 90s, and she's still having a hard time breathing. You tell your partner to move the mask a little closer to the patient, and to lower it to the level of the sternum so that the oxygen will waft up toward her nose. By now, Lily seems a little more relaxed, and you slyly place a pediatric nasal cannula on her as you discontinue the blow-by and begin your transport. Providing supplemental oxygen to children experiencing acute respiratory distress and hypoxia is an essential part of EMS care, and many of us were taught that blow-by oxygen, providing supplemental O2 by holding an oxygen source near the patient's face without actually placing the device on them, is a good way of providing this care while not making the situation worse by upsetting them. But in reality, blow-by oxygen is an ineffective way of providing meaningful oxygen therapy and really has no place in our practice. While there is a limited role for this technique, mostly during brief periods of time, it should never be your first choice. That's it for this episode of 911cast. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, thanks for listening.